Mike Tomlin has spoken. He's keeping the quarterback decision in-house, Donnie Football. Welcome, everybody. It's a Donnie Football Friday, a huge game under any circumstances. I don't care if this was Zach Wilson against Duck Hodges. This is a game with playoff implications, and it's much higher profile than that. I think it's going to be Mr. Let's Ride. It has to be Russell Wilson against Aaron Blanken Rogers and Devontae Adams and Garrett Wilson. I can't wait, and I have to believe that Tomlin is just doing this to try to gain some sort of competitive advantage, even though the Jets, I think, at this point would be nuts if they're not preparing for Russell Wilson. It's two very different preps, by the way, Donnie, which is probably why he's doing it.
Yeah, I mean, you have a quarterback that is more of a threat on the ground. He can occasionally, and I think that's even giving him more credit than what he's earned, occasionally beat you through the air, but I think a lot of people know at this point Justin Fields a more lethal player with his legs. And I don't know how much of that part of his game Russell Wilson has left. I'm not saying the guy is a total statue, but I do have the concerns about his mobility coming off a calf injury. He's always been a really good thrower of the football, maybe not quite to the level of Aaron Rodgers. By the way, Joe, the combined age between the two presumed starting quarterbacks on Sunday night, 76 years old.
Wow. And both headed to the Hall of Fame. Rodgers, 100%. I think Russell is going to be in the Hall of Fame, don't you?
I've always thought that, too. I thought his tenure in Seattle was just very elite, high-level play.
I mean, nobody here limits. None of us think that suddenly when we look down on the field on Sunday, it's going to be Justin Fields running out there, do we? The only reason Tomlin would tell reporters today, I'm keeping it in-house, although he has made a decision, is for a competitive advantage. We're not going to be shocked here, are we?
No, it's going to be Russell Wilson.
No, I mean, are the Jets just going to come out and expect Russell Wilson not to be the quarterback at this point? You might see Fields for a couple plays and packages, but I mean, 95% chance Russell Wilson's the guy.
All right.
Stun me otherwise.
Then let's go to this. Finally, after a week of drama in both cities, how does the game go, Donnie?
I like the Jets on Sunday night. I know that's kind of giving away maybe our picks that'll be later in the show. I feel like the Steelers still have some injuries that worry me, specifically the offensive line. They're going to lose Zach Frazier. He was injured in Vegas. It'll be their fifth offensive line combination in seven games. And obviously the center, the focal point of that offensive line, the middle man, the communication man. I know that Ryan McCollum will have Isaac Seumalo next to him, but it's still not an easy task for a guy to step in and play against a pretty stout defensive line like the Jets have. I mean, they have some real dudes on that defensive front. Quinnen Williams has been a monster the last couple of seasons. He really worries me. You know who else has been good? This guy more on the outside. Will McDonald. If you are listening out there and don't really recognize that name.
Was he limited yesterday, though? I thought. But go ahead with him.
But McDonald, the guy that the Jets ended up taking in the 2023 draft after the Steelers jumped ahead of them and took Broderick Jones. So we could see the two guys match up Sunday night, and I don't think I love the Steelers matchup there because McDonald has 7 sacks on the year. He's been really solid in that Jets defense. The Jets have a good defense.
Yeah,
not only do they have Rodgers and now Devontae Adams, I like their defense a lot too.
And they have Breece Hall, who's a breakaway runner. Like that guy, I get the feeling, and I know their running game hasn't been great so far. Anytime he touches the ball, I get the feeling he could go to the house. But here's the thing. Like I have two scenarios rolling around in my head. One is similar to yours, where I see the Jets dominating up front, especially defensively, like their defense outperforming the Steelers and just throttling Russell Wilson and the Steeler run game. But the other one is these are the Jets. Like they're chronically underachieving, chronically something's going wrong. Aaron Rodgers does not look like prime Aaron Rodgers to me or even close. If you watch that game Monday, everybody says, yeah, he had a pretty good game. Yeah, he had a pretty good game if he's, pick a mediocre quarterback in the league. He had a pretty good game if he's Aiden O'Connell. That's Aaron Rodgers. And I don't think for a team that hasn't run the ball very well, that he's just going to line up and throw 50 passes and dice this team up without getting sacked a lot and without making mistakes. Plus, did I mention they're the Jets? They find ways to lose. And I think there's only so many games that Tomlin's going to be in, those ugly and I think not sustainable. This is not a sustainable plan for postseason success. But he seems to win more than not in the regular season of these ugly, bogged down, 17, 16, 23, 20, whatever games. He's already lost one at home to the Cowboys. This is going to be that kind of game. And I think Tomlin and the Steelers find a way to win it because the Jets are the Jets.
I think both quarterbacks will be put on their backs a few times. The Steelers' pass rush is just too good. Alex Highsmith, it looks like he is going to be back. That's
yeah,
a very big
exactly.
addition to what these Steelers get back. Watt, obviously, elite player. I mean, he didn't have a sack last week, but two big forced fumbles. And then on the Steelers' side of things, we talked about the dinged-up offensive line. They have a big dude in the middle of that defense, do the Jets. And Russell Wilson, not quite as quick releasing the football as people seem to believe. That number is right around the same as Justin Fields.
No, here's the thing about Russell Wilson is there this mischaracterization of him that's gone around town. Like he's John Brody, who I don't even know if is he alive still, Donnie? I don't know. If he is, he's like 90. Russell Wilson had 341 yards rushing last year. If you watched Broncos games like the one against the Bills and like others, he beat five straight playoff teams, by the way, without having a ball intercepted. He still moves around and makes plays. You don't go get Russell Wilson, even at this age, to be a statue in the pocket. That's not what you're going to see on Sunday. Have people seen Russell Wilson play even in his later years, even last year in Denver? I throw out the first year in Denver. He had Nate Can't Hack It as his guy. It was a joke. Do you have Kabali saying that, by the way? That might work out. Yes, exactly. Come on. You throw out that year. I'll take last year, 26 touchdowns, 8 picks, 20-1 in the red zone. And again, he beat five straight playoff teams in the middle of the year with a coach who hated him and didn't even want him there. So I happen to think that Russell Wilson, you know, this calf injury is not a broken fibula. It's a calf injury. He's healthy. If he's not moving around or not capable of moving around, then Mike Tomlin's lost his mind by putting him in the game. He's going to be Russell Wilson.
Let's ride.
I would hope the calf injury is pretty much back to full health, considering we were, 6 weeks ago, thinking, oh, this guy has a shot to play in Atlanta week one. It comes down to the final 90 minutes. We get to the inactives, and there we see Russell Wilson inactive, third emergency quarterback, and it was that way for another month. So they have really slow played this injury, and you know we're at the point where he has to be back to health.
Man, he better be. Limits? I'd love to hear your crystal ball on the game, and then I would love to give you the floor here for 5 minutes of Bechtold's breakdown. The late Jack Ham add to our lineup next Bechtold's breakdown, and Donnie and I feel absolutely horrible. And I might add that you and Donnie have suggested I go to Mulsey's house and sing them Christmas carols.
Yes.
You guys up for that? Donnie?
Are we joining you, or are you just going by yourself?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few old favorites. Up on the housetop, Mulsey shines. He is such a nice young guy. That rhymes, doesn't it?
I like Mulsey roasting by an open fire.
I like that.
Or Mulsey on the mantle.
Yes. Mulsey time, it's Mulsey time in the city. Is that how that song goes?
That's Silver Bells.
Yeah, but that was the right tune and words?
I think it would have to be Mulsey Bells, it's Mulsey time in the city.
See, we can work on this. We'll have rehearsals.
Jingle bells, Mulsey smells, yeah, that, Donnie laid an egg.
Right, that type of thing, yes. Yeah.
Donnie never lays an egg.
Will you guys show up for a rehearsal, Donnie?
Yeah, we can do that. We can be the backup singers.
All right. We'll let Mulsey know we're coming to his house for Christmas caroling.
I'm sure he'll enjoy it. You've heard of Elf on the Shelf. Just wait until you hear of Mulsey on the Mantle tonight at 8.
Limits, the floor is yours. How do you see the game going? And then a little Bechtold breakdown, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I think probably another ugly one, Joe. And a game that the Steelers are just going to try to win on defense and running the ball, especially with Russell Wilson, who hasn't played in 10 months. Like, that's probably going to be an issue. But with Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, maybe the chemistry's not there in the first game. There's so much weird things going on with the Jets. I think the Steelers win the game, move to 5-2, closer to 6-2 before the bye. And let's get into the breakdown. All right, Joe, here's a story out from Steelers Now. Our buddy Alan Saunders reporting, putting out there about a potential report that DeAndre Hopkins might actually be off the board. DeAndre Hopkins saying, I love my life. I love where I am with the Tennessee Titans. He would be the next logical guy that you'd imagine the Steelers would go after at the wide receiver position. Does DeAndre Hopkins saying he loves Nashville where he is and his life in Tennessee maybe spin this anyway for you?
Well, it spins it to another guy off the board, if it's true.
And sounds like it.
I was on the DeAndre Hopkins train, Donnie. You know, it's time for sort of leftovers now, and if he's one of them, I'd take that.
I'd absolutely take it. I also don't think those comments mean as much as what he maybe wants them to mean. Like, okay, it's nice. He's reassuring his current team. Hey, I love Nashville. I like being here. Broadway's a whole lot of fun on a weekend night. You know, those students from Vanderbilt carrying the uprights through the streets. But the fact of the matter is, if the Titans continue to lose and they get a pretty good offer from another team, and that team could be the Steelers, I don't think DeAndre Hopkins will be a Tennessee Titan past the trade deadline.
Mosey the snowman was a very merry soul. With Pony by his side, he takes a ride along with Garrett Cole. Oh, that type of stuff, right, Donnie?
That's a good one. I like that one there.
That's an old favorite.
Two quick non-football notes.
He goes back to that.
Whenever I listen to Donnie's show with the PM guys, Mosey will say something just either outrageous or make a joke, and the next thing you hear is Pony. Dan Weathers brought to you by Sun Chevrolet.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't even address it. Completely no-sold like the Undertaker.
He will just completely look past it like nothing was ever said. Joel Blomquist, who it seemingly...
Are we going with Yoel here,
cannot pronounce Donnie, his name.
Are we going with Joel or are we going Yoel? Please. Yoel? Really?
I'm going to call the guy Joel like Jolie.
Joel Blomquist. Yeah. And what about the last name?
I was going to say Blomquist.
Yeah. Okay.
Blomquist.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
He will start in net for the Penguins tonight against Carolina. And also, Tony Bennett made a sudden retirement from Virginia basketball yesterday. Yeah. What are your instant reactions to those?
Thank you and I have two quick takes. Tony Bennett, you know, I respect that guy, but he went up there and complained about the state of college basketball. Then how about quit 6 months ago, Tony, instead of quitting on your team right before the season? I think that's a BS move, and it didn't have anything to do with his health, he said. I don't like it. And then Tristan Jarry right now is just a tragic figure. I'm sorry, the other night, as awesome as it was, the one image that stood out, Donnie, is Geno scores his 500th, and everybody jumps onto the ice from the bench, and then the last guy is Tristan Jarry, a helmetless Jarry, joining the celebration. It just felt sad. But I do respect Sully for playing, I think, the right guy.
I heard if Geno would have tossed him the puck in that instance, he would have missed.
Oh, come on.
He's been awful. Jarry, I was never a big fan of his anyway. I thought he was a big-time choker in big games. He has sucked to start this season. I said last Friday, he will end up being benched by season's end by either Blomquist or Nedeljkovic again.
It's beginning to look a lot like Malzahn. Go ahead.
The Tony Bennett thing, too. I saw a funny tweet about that yesterday, Joe. They said, no big deal, Tony Bennett just retiring at the same pace of his Virginia offense.
Oh, that's great.
That is fantastic. Don't you think this is a BS move this guy?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the season starts, at the end of the month?
Less than a month, like middle of November.
Yeah, practice tomorrow, guys. Oh, by the way, I quit. Come on.
And that now opens things up for anybody on that team to just bolt. And that's a point where I have no problem with that because your coach just bailed.
Silent Mosey. What's next?
Last one for you, Joe. Report from Brooke Pryor from the Tomlin press conference after practice, right before practice, whatever.
Yes.
Asked how much he consults with offensive coordinator Arthur Smith on the starting quarterback decision this week. Mike Tomlin said, I wear the decision. All on Mike.
So it's not Frank's decision like Pat Narduzzi kept telling us last year.
Doesn't seem like it.
What quarterback decision? I don't make those. My coordinator makes them. That's the right answer. It's the only answer from Tomlin, and I think it's an honest and accurate one. I sure hope so.
Yeah, it's not even like he is just taking on the brunt of that responsibility just to say that and just to make people maybe feel better about the situation. The fact of the matter is he is physically doing it. It's not like, oh, no, it's actually Arthur's choice, but I'm going to put my name on it. We know who's making the final call here, putting that final stamp of approval on things.
Man, it has to be that way.
Also, I throw two texts out to you, back-to-back texts. I love when we get this one positive, one negative. Cracking up. Starkey could take this show to the stage and it would sell. The next text, Joe is the absolute worst singer I've ever heard. It's like listening to nails on a chalkboard.
Joy to the world, oh, Mosey is here. I think this is going to be great, Donnie. If we can have a practice session, we have Gwen, back there, who's a professional
She's really
musician.
Good.
She plays the piano. We could cut an album. Apparently the Clarks love us. Is that right?
Yes.
Limits?
Clarks are big fans of the show.
I was already thinking because of the musical restrictions that have been placed on the show. Tony Kornheiser works around that on his podcast by having live musicians play their own stuff. So could we have the Clarks come on and play stuff? Could they back us in a Malzy Christmas Carol album? The possibilities are endless, Donnie.
And then we're going to be on Malzy's front doorstep.
Well, that's a live.
He's going to hear that tune.
That's a live performance.
And he's going to walk outside and throw eggs at us, Joe.
You ever see that SNL sketch where they have Michael Bublé? He's like with Kesha and all kind of other artists that they bring in. And it's all obviously satire and comedical. And it's just the dumbest thing ever, but it's one of the funniest sketches ever. And
I've
it's
seen
just all
it.
Things that are, you know what I mean?
And we can recreate that. I mean, the possibilities are endless here. Your guy's youthful energy has invigorated me. This is a new start for me, Donnie. And Donnie, football Fridays are unbelievable. Do you agree?
I do agree. It's been a blast, Joe.
The show has gone by here in how did this happen?
Record speed.
It feels like it's 10:30. Instead, it's almost 1:30. So we're going to finish up with our predictions. I don't know who was the big winner last week, but Limits will tell us. And then we got, I believe, four or five NFL games and a couple huge college games. I don't think Pitt plays until next Thursday, but we do have Penn State's on the docket, right, with Wisconsin this
no,
week?
No, they're off. Wisconsin's next Saturday.
That's next Saturday.
Yeah, both
so what's
teams
the
are
big
off.
Local game for us? What's the big game? Georgia-Texas?
West Virginia?
All right, we'll do the Fighting Neil Browns. Win or lose, everyone's going to have a good time. Did you see Narduzzi take a little shot at him, or people thought so yesterday?
I did see that.
Was that him taking a shot or no?
I often wonder, does he run his own social media too? Or is there somebody a little bit more savvy running it?
I don't know. That's a good question. But win or lose, West Virginians will have a good time this week. Yes, Limits?
Yeah, they're playing Kansas State at home. So, you know, hopefully
everyone will have a good time.
Hopefully everybody will have a good time. Yes.
All right.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
An unbelievable thing has happened here. We talked in the last segment about having practices, myself, Limits and Donnie Football to sing Mulsey Christmas carols. And Mulsey himself is in the building here, Donnie. He's in the studio with us. We have a live audience, and it's him.
He's trying to be incognito, though. He's just,
I know.
He's doing his other work.
I just thought it was, I don't know, is ironic the word? No, it's not, as a matter of fact. It was fitting. It was as if it was meant to be. When's our first practice? Next Friday before the show?
Yeah, I mean, people start to tune up the Christmas music on November 1, so we're getting close to that date.
Any thoughts on the text line limits as to if we do have a Mulsey singing group?
Somebody says that you have a Tiny Tim vibe to you singing.
That's true.
Tiny Tim was kind of a creepy guy.
Somebody else.
Well, he had that high-pitched thing going
on. Had a heart attack on stage. Died right there. You know that story?
It puts kind of a damper on things here.
Somebody else said, Joe really sucks.
It's everything Mulsey can do to not get on the mic and say that guy's right. All right, let's do our picks. Who won last week?
Donnie, once again, had a really good week. Donnie, overall, is 10-4. He went 4-3 in the week. Joe, you went 1-6. I went 2-5.
Wait a second. That's 2 weeks I went 1-6.
That's correct, Joe.
I'm 2-12 like the 74 Bills.
You are falling apart, but not as bad as
2-12.
Not as bad as me.
No, you're lying.
No, you're 12-16-1 overall.
What?
Compared to, well, that's going back to week one.
Well, forget week one. It's me, you, and Donnie starting off fresh last week. I'm 2-12.
You went 2-5 last week, so I shorted you one.
Now I'm improving only because I spoke up and asked. You're sabotaging me.
This is what always think.
How did I go from 1-6 to 2-5 just by inquiring?
No, you went 1-6 last week.
I know.
You went 2-5 the week before.
I don't know what he's saying, Donnie.
Your season record is 12-16. I went 2-5 last week.
My season record is not 12-16. We're starting last week fresh. Limits.
Your season record is 3-11. You want it to be. 11.
I think 3-11. Yeah.
What is Donnie?
Donnie is 10-4.
And what are you?
I am
Donnie. After 2 weeks, I'm 8 games behind you.
I am right at 4-10.
All right, I'm going to come in and check your work the show.
This sounds surprised.
Didn't seem like we got a calculus guy from Baldwin in there.
This sounds ridiculous.
Not our strong suit.
Anyway, there's a lot of season left. I just need to chop off a few games this week. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19. Peters Township celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. What do we got?
All right, let's start in Morgantown, where Kansas State is at West Virginia. Kansas State is ranked 17th in the
country. Regardless of what happens, everyone will have fun, right? Win or lose. It's not whether you win or lose, but whether you have fun at the tailgate.
And
right?
If the atmosphere is great for another primetime game in West Virginia.
Donnie, you go first on these.
What is the line here?
2.5, Kansas State.
Everybody have fun tonight. Everybody Wang Chung tonight. Kansas State's going to have a lot of fun. I will take Kansas State to cover that in Morgantown.
I mean, didn't Kansas State blow out Oklahoma State a couple weeks ago by like 3 touchdowns? They're going to go in there and win the game outright. I'm taking them.
Yeah, but Oklahoma State's not having a great year. I think if West Virginia does not win this game, Neil Brown will indefinitely be fired. Definitely, no doubt about it. So I think that he's going to win this game, West Virginia. Pulls off the upset.
Well, West Virginia also pounded Oklahoma State. I've just noticed here, Donnie. I don't care. Everyone will have fun, win or lose, right? Next game.
Georgia at Texas is a top 5 matchup. Texas is favored by 4.5, Donnie.
I like Texas here. I do not really have a whole lot of faith in Carson Beck. I know he had a really cool comeback against Alabama a few weeks ago, about a month ago. I'm going to take Texas here. They look really good.
The game's at Texas, yes?
Yep.
And what's the spread?
4.5.
You know what? I'm going to take Georgia in this one. The only time I've seen them this year was that Alabama game. I'm not that overly impressed with Texas to think that they can blow out everyone. You think it's going to be a blowout?
I don't think it'll be a blowout. I think they could win by a touchdown.
What's the spread again?
4.5.
Donovan's has reached the end of his line here. 4.5. Yeah, I'll take Georgia every day of the week.
I'm going to go with Georgia as well. I think they might win by a field goal. I think they might win outright, so I'm going to go with Georgia. Next game is Western Michigan at the University of Buffalo. Western Michigan is favored by 1.
Donnie? Ronnie?
I'm going to take Buffalo just for you, Joe. I'm not going to act like I know a single thing about either team.
Well, I know that Ron Cook Jr. has moved on after, I thought, a pretty underrated career at the University of Buffalo. He was a kick returner, running back, receiver, a jack of all trades.
What's he doing now, journalism and radio?
He may. Yeah, that's where I got my start, was covering the University of Buffalo Bulls for Generation Magazine, was the campus magazine. I don't know. Both teams stink. Buffalo just lost to UConn 47-3, but then came back with a big win against the Fighting Bruce Gradkowskis. 30-15, they beat Toledo. You're darn right I'm going with Buffalo in this one. Limits, why aren't you saying your pick?
I'm going to go with Buffalo just for you. Chiefs at the 49ers. 49ers are favored by 2 points.
This is one of the easiest picks of the year for me, if you don't mind me going first on the pro games. The 49ers are banged up and not playing well. The Chiefs are coming off a little bit of a break. They're getting healthier. Mahomes isn't even off to a good start, and they're 5-0. I think they're going to go in there and win by a touchdown. I'm taking the Chiefs.
I'm taking the Chiefs here, too. They're getting a point. They have looked like a very shaky 5-0 team, but everybody gives them a huge benefit of the doubt because they're the Chiefs. They've won back-to-back Super Bowls, and when it's all said and done, they will have the best player on the field if the game does get into a close one late. I'll take KC on the road.
Everybody's picking the Chiefs, but I think the 49ers, without Christian McCaffrey, when they need it most, are going to pull out a victory.
What's cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. And fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. High of 66 today with sunny skies. Did you see where Steve Spagnuolo texted Brock Purdy after the Super Bowl? Spagnuolo, the Chiefs defensive coordinator, and told him how good he played. Like, he's a huge Brock Purdy fan. Did you see that, Donnie?
I saw the nugget the other day that he, like, can't find a real weakness in his game.
Yeah. Called or texted him. Said you were great in that game.
Pretty high praise.
What a nice man he is. Nobody wants him as a head coach. It's an offensive league. Here's a guy that has stifled great offenses, maybe more than anybody in the history of the league.
I kind of wonder if he wants to leave his current situation.
I don't know. Maybe he likes that without having all the head coach BS they have to go through. I don't know, but it's unbelievable to me. Does he even interview? Does anybody contact him?
I feel like he didn't in the last cycle.
Next.
Let's go to Ravens at Bucks. Ravens favored by 3.5.
You want me to go first?
Yes.
Here I will. I think that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens normally look at their best in prime time when everybody is watching them. That run game has been great. Derrick Henry, the fountain of youth. I'm going to take the Ravens here, -3.5.
I'm taking the Fighting Baker Mayfields. He makes his MVP case this season.
I feel like I should be picking everything that Donnie picks, but I'm going with the Bucks as well. I think they don't win. I think it'll be a field goal game. Bengals, Browns. Bengals are favored by 5.5 in Cleveland.
Burrow oddly struggles when they play against the Browns. I think the Bengals will win the game. The offense is too good, but I think Cleveland, they'll get a little Nick Chubb bump with him back in the lineup this week. I think they keep it close. I'll go Cleveland with the points.
I'm aware of the Bengals' bad history with Burrow for some reason against the Browns, but that's all going to change. The Browns are broken. And plus, they deserve to get blown out because they're going to build a dome stadium in the suburbs. Well, what is happening, Donnie, to this great game?
Well, I'm sure we'll have a dome in Cranberry soon enough.
The dog pound is moving into a dome?
The dog dome now.
All right, we have to hurry. We have 1 minute.
I got the Bengals, too. All right, Steelers, Jets, what we got?
I think the Jets are going to win this game and cover. I think they win it by, I'll say 7, kind of an odd score, though. I will go Jets 26. Steelers 19, the Russell Wilson Steelers debut spoiled.
As I said earlier, everything Donnie mentioned made sense, but the Jets are the Jets, or the Jets is the Jets. They'll find a way to screw it up in the end because that's what they do, and Tomlin's not going to lose two of these types of games at home. He already lost an ugly one, low scoring to the Cowboys. He's going to win this one over whoever is coaching the Jets. What's that guy's name? Albrick?
Yeah, something like that.
19-18 Steelers.
I think the Steelers win by a final score of 17-12. Some weirdness going into the Jets' final score. Maybe a touchdown, a couple field goals. Who knows, but the Steelers win.
Thank you, Limits. Thank you, Donnie. It was another great Donnie Football Friday. Let's do it again next week.
Fantastic day, Joe. We shall.